when the computer learns to wait. Chapter 1. From Capture to Conversation. In the first article in this series, I explored what happened when I stopped forcing every idea through a keyboard. After dictating 565,253 words, I began to wonder whether typing had been more than a minor inconvenience. Perhaps my thinking was not the bottleneck. Perhaps the interface was. Voice allowed me to capture ideas at something closer to the speed they arrived. AI could make sense of the wrong words, abandoned sentences, corrections, and verbal detours surrounding the actual idea. One voice could become an artifact. In the second article, the idea expanded from I to we. When we capture a meeting, we preserve more than the tidy notes produced afterward. We preserve the conversational trail, the disagreement, expertise, false starts, context, and unexpected comments that explain how a group reached a decision. Many voices could become a corpus. Now we have arrived at the third shift. The machine is no longer waiting at the end of the process to clean up what we said. It is entering the conversation itself. Not merely as a voice attached to a search box, not as a chatbot waiting for us to complete a perfectly shaped question, as something closer to a live thinking partner that can listen while the thought is still becoming a thought, and perhaps most importantly, it is learning to wait. Voice assistants have always carried a peculiar social pressure. You begin speaking. You pause for half a second because the next sentence has not fully arrived. The machine decides you have completed your remarks and launches into an answer to a question you had not finished asking. You interrupt it. It interrupts your interruption. You apologize to your phone. The phone does not acknowledge the apology because it is still explaining the wrong thing. Talking to a computer was supposed to feel natural, but it often required a strange kind of artificial fluency. You had to speak in complete blocks, avoid meaningful pauses, and clearly signal when your turn had ended. Real conversation does not work that way. Human beings hesitate. We restart sentences. We use silence to search for language. We make a point, realize it is wrong while making it, and reverse course before arriving at the period. We say, "Hold on, I'm still thinking." We make noises that are not technically words, but somehow communicate that the other person should continue. A good listener understands that a pause is not always an invitation to seize the floor. Computers have historically been terrible at that distinction. Chapter 2. The machine learns to share the floor. OpenAI has introduced a new live voice system that powers its latest ChatGPT voice experience. The technical phrase behind it is full duplex. In practical terms, that means the model can continuously listen while generating a response, instead of treating the conversation as a rigid exchange of separate turns. It can make repeated decisions about whether to speak, continue listening, pause, interrupt, or use another tool. When a request requires deeper reasoning or research, the live system can delegate that work in the background while maintaining the conversation. That may sound like an incremental improvement. It is not. Awkward turn-taking was one of the remaining barriers between using AI as a tool and using AI as a place to think. A text box waits indefinitely, which is useful. A human conversation responds fluidly, which is also useful. Earlier voice systems sometimes inherited the weaknesses of both. They created the time pressure of a live conversation without possessing the social awareness required to manage one gracefully. They could speak. They had not yet learned how to share the floor. The new generation is designed to follow pauses, interruptions, and changes in pace, deciding in the moment whether to respond or keep listening. The product will still make mistakes. A dog barking, a bad connection, or my tendency to begin a sentence in one county and finish it in another can still confuse the machinery. But the direction is important. The computer is becoming less dependent on a clean stopping point. That changes what we can do before the stopping point arrives. There is an odd advantage to thinking aloud with AI. It can feel conversational without placing the same burden on you that comes with occupying another person's time. You can take 10 minutes to locate a point that eventually requires one sentence. You can try three versions of the same explanation. You can begin with confidence, discover halfway through that your premise is wrong, and walk the entire thing backward. You can repeat yourself. You can ramble. You can ask the AI not to answer yet. You can use the conversation to discover what you are trying to say. That would be a lot to ask from a coworker at 4:45 on a Friday. A good human collaborator may be patient, but they still have a calendar, an inbox, a family, and a visible expression when you begin explaining the same idea for the fourth time. AI does not eliminate the value of human conversation. It creates a different kind of conversational space, personal without requiring another person, conversational without quite as much social pressure, captured without requiring a separate documentation step. That combination matters because I no longer have to arrive with the thought fully organized before I begin exploring it. The conversation can become the organizing process. Chapter 3. The Duck Gets an Advanced Degree. People have always used conversation to think. We call a friend. We pace around an office. We explain a problem to someone who may not understand the technical details, but knows how to ask the question that reveals we do not understand them either. Software developers have long practiced something called rubber duck debugging. The idea is simple. You explain your code line by line to an inanimate rubber duck. The duck does not need to answer. The act of explanation forces hidden logic into the open. AI gives the duck an advanced degree, access to current research, and an almost supernatural enthusiasm for numbered lists. It can listen to the explanation and then identify a contradiction, question an assumption, find relevant evidence, compare alternatives, or turn the emerging idea into a plan. The duck can now help build the software. We have spent several years teaching people how to prompt AI. Give it a role, state the goal, provide context, define the format, include examples, specify the constraints. These remain useful habits. Clear thinking usually produces clearer instructions, but a fluid conversation changes how much preparation has to happen before the interaction begins. I do not always need one polished prompt. I can begin with, "I have the beginning of an idea, but I do not know what it is yet." Then I can explain. The AI can ask what I mean. I can correct its interpretation. It can offer a structure. I can reject the structure. It can find evidence. The evidence may change the premise. The context accumulates conversationally. Instead of compressing my entire intention into one expertly engineered instruction, I can reveal it over time. That is often closer to how genuinely complicated problems are solved. We do not always know enough at the beginning to ask the correct question. Sometimes the question is the first thing the conversation needs to produce. This transforms the chat from a sequence of requests into something closer to a workspace. Inside one exchange, I can explore an idea, add text or an image, look for current information, question the answer, return to an earlier point, and begin creating the artifact that emerges. The transcript is not a courtroom record. Background noise, overlapping voices, and fast speech can still create inaccuracies. The transcript is useful material, not infallible evidence. We should not confuse the direction of the interface with the maturity of the current release. This is still early, but we are clearly moving from issuing commands to computers toward developing ideas with them through continuous conversation. Chapter 4: Personal, Conversational, and Captured. Three qualities are beginning to converge. First, it is personal. The system can draw on the current conversation and, where enabled, information it remembers from earlier interactions. It can understand which projects I am working on, which terminology I use, which explanations I have already rejected, and which ideas keep resurfacing. Second, it is conversational. I do not have to structure every interaction as a finished question followed by a finished answer. The thought can unfold through corrections, pauses, questions, interruptions, and changes in direction. Third, it is captured. Afterward, there is still material. The exchange remains in the chat history. I can revisit it, summarize it, reorganize it, quote it, or use it as the beginning of something else. That final quality connects the entire series. The value is not limited to what the AI says back. The conversation itself becomes an artifact. It contains the questions I asked, the assumptions I began with, the alternatives we explored, the evidence that changed the direction, the language I naturally used, the ideas I rejected, and the path I followed before arriving somewhere useful. That is an enormous pile of unstructured words, which sounds terrible until you remember that modern AI is unusually good at finding relationships inside enormous piles of unstructured words. Every narrated test, meeting transcript, voice conversation, newsletter draft, project note, and AI exchange can become another piece of a personal intellectual archive. Most of us are not organizing the material that way yet. We are scattering it across chat histories, drives, meeting platforms, inboxes, and tools with charming names that will eventually be acquired or quietly vanish. But the material exists. A traditional archive preserves the outputs, the report, the article, the presentation, the finished design. A conversational archive can preserve more of the process that produced them. Not only what I concluded, but how I reached the conclusion. Not only the successful idea, but the 5 wrong turns that taught me what the successful idea needed to become. I sometimes describe this as building a personal large language model. That is understandable shorthand, but it is not technically precise. Most people will not train a complete language model from scratch on everything they have ever said. A more likely system will connect a capable general model to a private personal corpus. Conversations, writing, voice notes, photographs, project histories, recorded decisions, preferences, explanations. The model supplies broad language and reasoning abilities. The archive supplies personal context. To the person using it, that distinction may eventually feel academic. They will say, "Ask CAMS AI." They will not say, "Query the Frontier Foundation model using retrieval across CAMS' carefully permissioned personal corpus." Although the second version would look excellent on a family reunion t-shirt. Chapter 5. A Future Conversation with the Past. This is where the rabbit hole becomes stranger. Today, we understand people from the past through whatever happened to survive. Letters, journals, photographs, recorded interviews, business documents. Stories passed through relatives who remembered the important parts, forgot the inconvenient parts, and improved the ending. Most ordinary human reasoning disappeared. The question someone considered but never wrote down vanished. The idea they explored and rejected left no trace. The explanation they gave during a meeting evaporated when everyone left the room. Our descendants may inherit something very different. They may inherit years of conversations, meeting transcripts, AI exchanges, voice notes, articles, project histories, and explanations of why we made particular choices. A great-grandchild may eventually say, "We should look at great-grandfather's LLM and see what he was thinking back then." Technically, the child may be asking a future model to interpret the personal corpus left behind by the great-grandfather. The child will not care. To them, the interface may feel less like opening a box of old documents and more like entering a place where questions can be asked. Why did he change careers? What did he believe about work? What was he trying to build? Which ideas did he return to? What changed his mind? What did he learn when the project failed? The answer might draw from hundreds of dated conversations and documents. It could cite the original material. It could show how the person's opinion changed over time. That would be more than a photograph album, more than a memoir, more than a static archive. It would be a conversational interface to a life's recorded thinking. The possibility is moving out of pure science fiction. The wisdom of doing it remains a much harder question. A future AI built from my words would not be me. This distinction must remain bright enough to see from space. It would not possess my consciousness, my private experience, or my actual memories. It would be a system generating answers from the evidence I left behind, potentially useful evidence, potentially intimate evidence, still evidence. A model could capture recurring language while missing the expression on my face when I said it. It could mistake brainstorming for belief. It could merge opinions held 20 years apart. It could give far too much importance to a bad afternoon simply because I happened to speak more that day. It could reproduce an old position after I had quietly changed my mind. It could generate a plausible answer to a question I never addressed. A convincing reconstruction is not the person. It is an interpretation of the record. Chapter 6. Great-grandfather's LLM needs footnotes. The responsible version of this future cannot be a chatbot that confidently improvises what a dead person would have said. It needs footnotes, dates, sources, context, confidence levels. A visible distinction between something the person said repeatedly, something they wrote once, something they explored as a possibility, something they rejected, something inferred by AI, and something the system simply does not know. It should be able to say, he discussed this subject 7 times between 2026 and 2031. His view appears to have changed after this project. Here are the original conversations. That is different from, great-grandfather believes you should buy cryptocurrency. Especially if great-grandfather mentioned Bitcoin once, sarcastically, while trying to fix a lawnmower. The archive should help people encounter the record. It should not impersonate certainty. Who owns the archive? Who can question it? Can the person delete parts of it while alive? Can they restrict certain subjects? Can family members alter it? Can an employer claim the conversations created at work? Can the system speak in the person's voice, or should it be limited to retrieving and explaining source material? Those are not minor ethical details to address after the demo. They determine whether the product is a thoughtful archive or a very convincing seance run by a cloud provider. Consent does not become less important after death. Neither does privacy. Neither does context. The useful version of this future requires deliberate control over what is captured, what is preserved, how it can be interpreted, and when it should be allowed to end. The answer is not necessarily to capture nothing. It is to become more deliberate about the archive we are already creating. What belongs in it? Who may access it? What does it represent? What should remain private? What should be deleted? And what should a future system be allowed to infer? A personal corpus should not pretend to contain a soul. It may still contain an astonishing amount of a life. That makes it valuable. It also makes it dangerous enough to deserve design, policy, and restraint before the future arrives wearing a friendly voice. Chapter 7. A thinking partner is not a replacement person. The risks are not all waiting in the distant future. A conversational AI can help develop an idea without guaranteeing that the idea deserves development. It can ask useful questions. It can also follow a faulty assumption too obediently. It can challenge me. It can also provide an elegant explanation for something that began with a false premise. A warm voice, quick response, and natural rhythm may make the answer feel more trustworthy than it is. The sensation of being understood is not evidence that the system is correct. A thinking partner changes the thinking, human or artificial. That influence deserves inspection. The absence of human pressure is part of the appeal. It is also part of the limitation. An AI will listen late at night. It will respond immediately. It will not become bored. It may appear endlessly patient, attentive, and interested. That makes it useful for rehearsal, reflection, research, and creative exploration. It may also tempt us to substitute a frictionless, synthetic conversation for the harder reciprocal relationships that keep human beings connected to one another. A real collaborator has their own knowledge, needs, incentives, history, and right to disagree. They may misunderstand me in a way that reveals my explanation is incomplete. They may refuse the premise, They may say, "You have explained this 4 times and I still do not think it makes sense." That friction can be valuable. The most useful role for conversational AI may sit somewhere between a tool, a rehearsal space, and a collaborator. I can use it to externalize an unformed idea, locate the missing question, test the logic, find contrary evidence, organize the material, create the first artifact. Then I can take that better developed thinking to another person. The machine can help prepare the thought. People still help determine whether the thought matters. That distinction keeps the technology in its most useful lane. AI can help me arrive at human conversations better prepared. It should not become an excuse to avoid them. Chapter 8. The conversation becomes the production loop. Across these 3 articles, the same pattern has kept reappearing. Capture, curate, share. The first article focused on individual capture. Voice. Let me externalize ideas without repeatedly stopping to type, correct, and reload the thought. The second focused on collective capture. Meeting transcripts preserved the reasoning and knowledge that traditional notes compressed or discarded. This third article brings capture and curation into the conversation itself. I state the idea. The AI asks a question. I revise the thought. The system finds evidence. I challenge the evidence. It helps identify where the argument changed. That can become an article, a project brief, a product requirement, a software revision, or the beginning of a better conversation with another human being. Once the interaction becomes fluid enough, these stages stop feeling like separate administrative tasks. The conversation becomes the production loop. Capture, question, curate. Build, respond, capture again. For most of computing history, people adapted themselves to machines. We memorized commands, navigated menus, completed fields, translated complicated intentions into whatever rigid structure the software would accept. AI begins reversing that relationship. The machine increasingly meets us inside the pauses, uncertainty, repetition, and incomplete thoughts that characterize how people actually think. The models may be the engine. The interface is where the change becomes personal. The breakthrough is not simply that the machine can produce an answer. It is that the system can remain present while the question is still changing. It can tolerate a thought before it has been cleaned. It can help organize an idea before the idea knows what shape it wants to take. And because the conversation is captured, the exchange does not disappear when the thinking ends. It becomes material. Material that can be reviewed, refined, connected, shared, or rediscovered later when its importance finally becomes visible. Chapter 9. When the computer learns to wait. I started this series with 565,253 dictated words and a dent in my forehead from leaning against a microphone. That led to a question about whether the keyboard had been throttling my ability to make things. The question then expanded into meetings and the organizational knowledge we allow to disappear every day. Now it ends, at least for the moment, with a computer learning not merely to transcribe or summarize, but to remain inside the conversation while the thinking happens. To listen, to respond, to research, to help shape something. And occasionally, finally, to stay quiet. Maybe that is the next great interface, not a headset. Not a funny-looking mouse, not a chip in my brain, although I remain open to reviewing the user agreement, a conversational space where I do not need to have the idea fully formed before I begin, where the machine can tolerate the wreckage, where it can help me find the structure, where the exchange leaves behind enough material to become something useful today, and perhaps something meaningful much later. We taught computers how to speak. Now they are learning how to listen. And somewhere inside all those captured words, the archive of how we thought is beginning to write itself.